堂听 class.com。
Dolly's False Legacy by Ian Wilnett. Overlooked in the arguments about the morality of artificially reproducing life is the fact that, at present, cloning is a very inefficient procedure. The incident of death among fetuses and offspring produced by cloning is much higher than it is through natural reproduction, roughly 10 times as high as normal before birth,and 3 times as high after birth, in our studies at Roslyn. Distressing enough for those working with animals, these failure rates surely render unthinkable the notion of applying such treatment to humans. Even if the technique were perfected, however, we must ask ourselves what practical value whole being cloning might have. What exactly would be the difference between a cloned baby and a child born naturally? And why would we want one? The cloned child would be a genetically identical twin of the original, and thus physically very similar, far more similar than a natural parent and child. Human personality, however, emerges from both the effects of the genes we inherit, nature, and environmental factors, nurture.The two clones would develop distinct personalities, just as twins develop unique identities. And because the copy would often be born in a different family, clone twins would be less alike in personality than natural identical twins. Why copy people in the first place? Couples unable to have children might choose to have a copy of one of them rather than accept the intrusion of genes from a donor. My wife and I have 2 children of our own and an adoptive child, but I find it helpful to consider what might have happened in my own marriage if a copy of me had been made to overcome infertility. My wife and I met in high school. How would she react to a physical copy of the young man she fell in love with? How would any of us find living with ourselves? Surely the older clone, I in this case, would believe that he understood how the copy should behave, and so be even more likely than the average father to impose expectations upon his child. Above all, how would a teenager cope with looking at me, a balding, aging man, and seeing the physical future ahead of him?Each of us can imagine hypothetical families created by the introduction of a cloned child, a copy of one partner in a homosexual relationship, or of a single parent, for example. What is missing in all this is consideration of what's in the interests of the cloned child. Because there is no form of infertility that could be overcome only by cloning. I do not find these proposals acceptable. My concerns are not on religious grounds or on the basis of a perceived intrinsic ethical principle. Rather, my judgment is that it would be difficult for families created in this way to provide an appropriate environment for the child. Cloning is also suggestedas a means of bringing back a relative, usually a child, killed tragically. Any parent can understand that wish, but it must first be recognized that the copy would be a new baby and not the lost child. Herein lies the difficulty, for the grieving parents are seeking not a new baby, but a return of the dead one.Since the original would be fondly remembered as having particular talents and interests, would not the parent expect the copy to be the same? It is possible, however, that the copy would develop quite differently. Is it fair to the new child to place it in a family with such unnatural expectations? What if the lost child was very young? The shorter the life,the fewer the expectations parents might place on the substitute, right? If a baby dies within a few days of birth, and there is no reason to think that death was caused by an inherited defect, would it then be acceptable to make a copy? Is it practical to frame legislation that would prevent copying of adults or older children, but allow copying of infants? At what age would a child be too old to be copied in the event of death? Copying is also suggested as a means by which parents can have the child of their dreams. Couples might choose to have a copy of a film star, baseball player, or scientist, depending on their interests. But because personality is only partly the result of genetic inheritance, conflict would be sure to arise if the cloned child failed to develop the same interests as the original. What if the copy of Einstein shows no interest in science? Or the football player turns to acting? Success also depends upon fortune. What if the child who does not live up to the hopes and dreams of the parent simply because of bad luck? Every child should be wanted for itself as an individual. In making a copy of oneself or some famous person, a parent is deliberately specifying the way he or she wishes that child to develop. In recent years, particularly in the US, much importance has been placed on the right of individuals to reproduce in ways that they wish. I suggest that there is a greater need to consider the interests of the child and to reject these proposed uses of cloning. By contrast, human cloning could, in theory, be used to obtain tissues needed to treat disorders such as Parkinson's disease and diabetes. These diseases are associated with cell types that do not repair or replace themselves, but suitable cells will one day be grown in culture. These uses cannot be justified now, nor are they likely to be in the near future. Moreover, there is a lot we do not know about the effects of cloning, especially in terms of aging. As we grow older, changes occur in our cells that reduce the number of times they can reproduce. This clock of age is reset by normal reproduction during the production of sperm and eggs. That is why children of each new generation have a full lifespan. It is not yet known whether aging is reversed during cloning, or if the clone's natural life is shortened by the years its parent has already lived. Then there is the problem of the genetic errors that accumulate in our cells. There are systems to seek out and correct such errors during normal reproduction. It is not known if that can occur during cloning. Research with animals is urgently required to measure the lifespan and determine the cause of death of animals produced by cloning. Important questions also remain on the most appropriate means of controlling the development and use of these techniques. It is taken for granted that the production and sale of drugs will be regulated by governments, but this was not always the case. 100 years ago, the production and sale of drugs in the US was unregulated. Unscrupulous companies took the opportunity to include in their products substances like cocaine that were likely to make the patients feel better even if they offered no treatment for the original condition. After public protest, championed by publications such as the Ladies' Home Journal, a federal act was passed in 1906. An enforcement agency, known now as the FDA, was established in 1927. An independent body similar to the FDA is now required to assess all the research on cloning. There is much still to be learned about the biology associated with cloning. The time required for this research, however, will also provide an opportunity for each society to decide how it wishes the technique to be used. At some point in the future, Cloning will have much to contribute to human medicine, but we must use it cautiously. Thank you.